Okay, we began this study several weeks ago called Let's Begin in 2010. Let's Begin in 2010. It's 2010, and anybody here today excited about that? Good, good. Last week, I want to kind of recap last week's message. We talked about the number one goal that we should have for 2010. And you know what? God has got God goals in store for us this year, not just good goals. He's got God-ordained goals for us to fulfill in 2010. Remember this, that good is the enemy of best. So this year, we don't want to accomplish just good goals for our lives. We want to accomplish God goals, which are the best for our lives. Amen? Amen. And again, last week we talked about the number one goal that we should have for this year, like Ruth did. How many remember Ruth in the Old Testament? Joshua judges Ruth. Okay. She was of a country named Moab. And she was with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so Naomi was moving back to Israel, or Bethlehem. And Ruth was insistent on going back with her. And let's read Ruth 1, verse 16. Just in recap of last week's message. Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." What was Ruth saying? She was saying, Naomi, your God, the God of Israel, creator of heaven and earth, is going to be number one in my life starting today. She was saying, I am leaving the gods I served in Moab. And I'm making the creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh, my God. And friends, that has got to be our number one goal this year. It's got to be at the top of your resolution list for 2010 to make God number one in your life. And we talked about some of the strategies, how-tos to make God number one in your life this year. One of the ways to make God number one in your life this year is by reading the Word of God consistently. You know, the Word of God is like almost the autobiography of God. It gives you a closer look into the nature of God. Another way to make God number one in your life this year is by praying. You like talking to the person who's your best friend, right? How many here have a best friend? You like talking to that best friend, right? Well, you know what? God wants to be your very best friend at the top of the list. Show Him that He is your best friend, that He's number one by talking to Him in prayer. And finally, we can show God that He is number one in our lives this year by making His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, the one in full charge of every part of our life. You know, after making God number one in your life this year, that being the top goal for 2010, God has got some other goals for you to accomplish this year. What might some of those goals be? It might be an educational goal. You know, God may speak to you in your times of prayer and tell you, you know what, I want you to study business this year. Start studying business. Or start studying computers. You know, begin studying nursing. I want you to begin studying Bible courses. Go to a Bible school. That may be a goal that God has for you this year. Maybe God has a job switch for you this year. Maybe you're in the janitorial field. But maybe God is wanting you to switch to the restaurant industry. You know, God can speak that to you. You know, you may be doing one thing and God is saying, I want you to do this thing job-wise. It may be a relationship goal with someone. Maybe God is wanting you to begin a relationship with somebody that may eventually become a long-term relationship, like a spouse. God can speak those goals to you in your times of prayer and communication with Him. Maybe one of God's goals for you this year is to overcome a chemical addiction, be it drugs or alcohol. God has got something for you to do in 2010. Say it with me today. God has got something for me to do in 2010. Today I want to talk about some of the practical steps to take in order to accomplish the God-ordained goals that He has for you. Some of the practical steps to achieve the God-ordained goals that He has for you. Number one, You've got to start taking small steps. You got to start taking the first small steps toward accomplishing the goals that God has for you. And here's a word of warning. Don't wait for all the conditions to be perfect before you take those first small steps. If you wait for all the conditions to be perfect before you take the first small steps, guess what? You'll never take the first small steps. And you may never accomplish God's goal for your life. I got an email that I received some time back, years ago. I think it was excellent for this message. It's called, Take Action Now, the number one step to accomplishing your goals. Finally, the day had arrived. Jennifer had been training for months, and now her hard work would be put to good use. Her body was in shape. Her mind was crisp. She was ready. Well, almost. She couldn't find the right pair of shoes. At this particular race, there was a large locker room full of every type of running shoe in the world. Jennifer was trying on shoes, but she couldn't find the perfect ones. The race was about to begin, but she didn't want to run if everything wasn't perfect. For Jennifer, if everything wasn't perfect, she didn't want to start the race. Tell them just five more minutes, she told the officials. I'll be right there. She wasn't. Jennifer tore through the stacks of shoes. One was too tight. The next was too loose. One pair fit right. But she didn't like the colors. We have to start the race, Jen. Her coach walked out of the room shaking his head. As she was trying on a pair of green shoes, she heard the starter's gun. The race started without her. When she heard that shot, Jennifer stopped looking for the perfect shoes. Jennifer waited for everything to be perfect, and in doing so, let opportunity start and finish without her. You must take action if you want to reach your goals. No dream will come true if you don't do something to make it so. If you wait for the perfect situation, you may be waiting forever. Don't let the race start without you. Take action today, not tomorrow, not next week, today. You will always have reasons why you must put it off until another time. Stop giving yourself excuses and give yourself a chance to succeed. Start taking the first small steps, guys. Don't wait for everything to be just perfect, because you know what? If you do, the race may begin without you. You agree? All right. Now, once you start taking the first small steps in accomplishing your goals, you've got to have this character quality that Ruth had. Character quality that Ruth had. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. Let's talk about this character quality. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. When you're there, look up, and I'll know to read. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth. Verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, whose young woman is that? The foreman replied in verse 6, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Here's the key in verse 7. She went into the field, and she worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Let's jump down to verse 17. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to an ephah. What character quality did Ruth have from the scriptures we just read? She went out and worked from morning till evening steadily with a short break at the shelter. Perseverance. Okay, anybody else?
Commitment. She was committed to what she was doing.
Exactly. She had the character quality of faithfulness. And Paul lists faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. See, we don't know what the weather conditions were like that day, but she was steadily working, faithfully working. What is faithfulness? Anybody have any ideas out there? When you hear the word faithfulness, what do you think? Ruth was faithful. She worked faithfully. She gleaned all day long. That's good. Faithfulness is consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Faithfulness is consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. I call it the second-hand quality. The second-hand quality. Now, I've got a watch in my hand with a second hand. And that second hand ticks consistently. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day. Doesn't matter what the conditions are around it. And I can be in this room, and if this room is full of noise, the second hand on my watch will continue to tick steadily. You know, I could be outside on a winter's day where it's 10 degrees, and guess what? The second hand on this watch is going to tick consistently. I could be outside when it's 100 degrees in the summer, and guess what? This second hand is going to tick consistently. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. I could even jump underwater with this watch, and guess what? The second hand will still consistently tick. I call faithfulness the second hand qualities. Quality. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that we've got to have that character quality of faithfulness in our lives if we're to accomplish the goals God has got for us this year. You know, as you begin to accomplish God's goal for your life this year, distractions may come to try to throw you off course. You know, so if one of God's goals for you this year is to overcome the addiction, or to start a relationship, or to change a job, or to begin a course of study, distractions will come to try to throw you off course on accomplishing that goal. For instance, if God is wanting you to get into the restaurant industry and to climb your way up, you've got to start as a waiter. And so you're like, man, I've never been in the restaurant industry. But you've got to start doing something. You've got to start taking the first small steps. And the first small steps into getting into the restaurant industry is doing what? It's filling out job applications. Not once a month or once every 2 months, but once a day, consistently. You know, and if you get up one morning and it's really cold out, you might be like, oh my goodness, it's so cold out there. I just don't feel like going out there and filling out an application. Or it may be pouring cats and dogs outside. And you have an interview scheduled with a restaurant owner, and you'll be like, oh my goodness, it's raining, cats and dogs, I really don't feel like going out there. Well, you know what? That cold, that rain is like a distraction. You've just got to ignore those distractions, get up, go out, apply, and interview, despite what the distractions are. Is that making sense? You've got to do something. Don't let distractions stop you. There's another thing that will try to stop you, that will try to distract you from the God-given goals that He wants you to accomplish this year. What is it? There's another thing that would try to distract you from accomplishing a goal that God has for you this year.
Sin.
So that's a good one. Anybody else? Circumstances? Say the past. The past. The past. The past will sometimes try to paralyze you, but not for Ruth. Let's look at Ruth 2, verse 11, in the middle of that chapter. Ruth 2:11. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. She left her father, her mother, she left the gods of Moab, and she came to Bethlehem. She decided to leave the past where it belonged. Where did the past belong for Ruth? It belonged in the past, and that's where she left it. She went forward with the better thing that God had for her life. She went forward. You know, if you're trying to drive a car forward, but you're looking backward, guess what? You ain't going to go forward, right? Or if you do go forward, it's not going to be successful. You may end up hurting yourself or somebody else. So leave the past where it belongs. It belongs in the past. Forget those things that are behind and press forward to the better thing, toward the goal that God has for you to accomplish in 2010. Ruth did it. She left her mother. She left her father. She left Moab. She left the gods of Moab. And she came to Bethlehem with Naomi because God had a better thing for her. For instance, this is hypothetical. Say that last year you applied for a job making $9 an hour. You applied for the job and you were called for an interview. And so you interviewed. And on the inside you just knew that you knew that you knew you had this $9 an hour job. And you were just so sure that the interviewer was going to call you for a second interview. You were just waiting and waiting and waiting on that second call, that second interview. And it never happens. And you got down on the inside. And you gave up. And say, this year God is telling you, I want you to apply again for that job. For that $9 an hour job. Right. Sometimes the past tries to stick up its ugly head. But remember what happened last year. Guys, let's forget about last year. Let's forget about the failures of last year because God has got something better for us this year. It doesn't matter if you didn't get the second interview last year. This year, you might get that second interview with God's help. Just go forward and don't let the past stop you. Amen? Amen. That making sense? You know, when I was about 16 years old, I began working for a lawn care company out in New Jersey on the East Coast. And he hired me, kind of negotiated on an hourly rate. He hired me. And I must have messed up on one of the jobs. I don't know what I did exactly, but I messed up somehow. I made a mistake. And so the employer, an older man, he ended up letting me go. And I was really kind of down on the inside that he let me go. But I really wanted to do lawn care. And even though he let me go, guess what? I didn't let that past occurrence, that past failure, stop me. I ended up starting my own lawn care company. And grew it to about 40 or 50 customers that I used to cut during high school. So that's just a small example. If I can do it, friends, you can do it. Amen? Amen. Let's say it with me today. I'm not going to let the past stop me from going forward in the future. In Jesus' name. You got to be like the Energizer Bunny. The Energizer Bunny. What does it do? It keeps going and going and going consistently without stopping, right? Let's look at Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12. He's our prime example in this area. Jesus Christ, our model for Christian living. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. What was God's ultimate goal for Jesus Christ, God the Son? What was God's ultimate goal for his Son, Jesus? To die on a cross. Jesus died upon a cross so that you and I would not have to die in hell. That's great news, isn't it? And Jesus had his eyes on the prize. Jesus had his eyes on the prize. What was the prize? It's in Hebrews 12, too. It's an open book test. Jesus had his eyes on the prize. The prize was the joy that was set before him. What was that joy?
Finish his Father's work.
That joy was you and me. That we'd be added to the kingdom of God. That we become part of the body of Christ. So what's going to be the motivating force this year to help you accomplish God's goals for your life? What's going to be the motivating force for your life this year to help accomplish God's goal for your life? Keeping your eyes on the prize. What is the prize? Think about it. What is the prize?
Eternal life.
If one of God's goals for you this year is to overcome a chemical addiction, what's the prize? The prize is the fulfillment of the goal, overcoming that chemical addiction. Right? What's the prize for your life, friend? You've got to keep your eyes on the fulfillment of that goal. If God is wanting you to go from being a janitor to working in the restaurant industry this year, what's the prize? What's the fulfillment of the goal? Getting into the restaurant industry, maybe becoming a waiter to start. Making sense? If one of God's goals for you this year is to start studying certain Bible courses or to study certain Bible courses, then what's the prize? The fulfillment of that goal, studying those Bible courses. Making sense? You know, and if you're excited on the inside about attaining the prize, if you're excited on the inside that God has spoken to you to accomplish this goal, then guess what? Come hell or high water, you are going to accomplish that goal because your eyes are on the prize, the fulfillment of the goal. It doesn't matter what distractions try to throw you off course. You'll have it settled deep down on the inside. I am not going to let anyone or anything throw me off course in accomplishing what God wants me to accomplish this year. Make sense? One of the things you have to do is this. You've got to write your goal down. If you've got a certain area in your bag or in a book that you read or a Bible, write down that goal and read it on a consistent basis. Just read it once a day. It'll take you 2 seconds. If it's in sight, it'll be in mind. And you'll be sure to accomplish that goal. Remember this. Remember this. Quitters focus on the problems and never accomplish their God-given goals. Let me say it again. Quitters focus on the problems and never accomplish the God-given goals for their life. Winners, on the other hand, do what? They focus on the prize regardless of the problems. They're not looking at the problems. They're not being distracted. Winners are looking at the prize and they accomplish the goal that God has for them. Say it with me today. I want to be a winner this year, not a quitter. In Jesus' name, amen.